What is the chief end of men? And this is the answer. The chief end of men is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever.
If people don't know sin,
yeah,
what's stopping people in heaven still being absolute toilets to each other? Like,
people have arguments, they have opinions.
Again,
everyone with an opinion isn't there.
The reason we do,
Facebook doesn't exist.
No. Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah. No, I'll give an
amen to that.
There's no politics.
Yeah.
So there will be, again, no. The reason we bicker, reason we, do all that thing is because of sin. It's pride in us. And we clash. We constantly clash. The Bible is quite strong on who we are. It tells us who we are. And I'm not going to tell you that now because you know I've explained that to you before. But we are so broken. So broken. Anything good that we do is because of God's grace.
Because you see about we're bickering and all that. However, I like it sometimes, as in, we can have a conversation about different beliefs, different
views,
what we think's views.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll be like, nah, I'm over here. I appreciate what you say, but no. And other times I might have an argument and then later on I'm like, it's generally Steph, my missus, like, yeah, I was out of line there. Or like, I'll come around to what she's saying and go, she'll change my point of view.
Of course.
I just think without that, I'm not who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what I mean? Like, basically the
whether it's boring.
Well, the sin in me makes me who I am.
Johnny, that's absolutely right. Yeah. That's truth. And it makes you who you are. And that's because we're fallen. It is a part of us. Our broken nature is a part of us. And actually, some of our sin, we love it. We love it because it gives us identity. It gives us relief. We run to all these things. But what God is saying, He's saying, don't be a rebel. You know, you were talking earlier about how you were being a rebel with your parents. He's saying, don't be a rebel. You come back to me. But of course, there's an enemy, the Satan. His ace card is to say to you and you, like he said to Eve in the beginning, did God really say that? Is God really true? Because he wants people as far away from God as they possibly can be. So he will hate that we're having this podcast now and we're having this conversation. He'll hate it. And he's tried a few times to stop this happening through various means and maybe thoughts in my head about, you know, should I be doing this? Or should I, you know, how are the guys going to do it? How's it going to come across?
Should I get these two idiots on?
That was definitely sin aside. Yeah, Johnny and Dom. Yeah, they'd be men.
If this doesn't get published, we know why. Yeah. So,
Mike, we've been recording for 4 hours. I was only a 5 minute podcast.
Heavy editing. Yeah.
Do you get frustrated with us?
No.
Do you ever look at us and go, you absolute idiots?
No, never. Guys,
lines are sin.
I don't have many non-Christian friends.
You don't?
No.
Really?
I don't. Because
after this, we're done.
Yeah.
This is the last chance.
Yeah. I don't because, for a couple of reasons, but the one main reason is I struggle to have meaningful relationships with non-Christians because of what we don't have in common. Guys, we don't have Christianity in common, but we do have a lot of other things in common. And you guys are guys that I love and respect and want to invest into our relationship. And not only that is, I want God to use me to reveal himself to you. And so one thing I would say earlier is...
This is a sales pitch, isn't it? That's basically what this relationship is.
He's
playing
nice.
The long game, man.
This is nice because there is nothing I can say to... And I've said this to you guys before. There's nothing I can say to you to convert you to be a Christian. It's not up to me. It's up to God. God draws you in through whatever means he wants. And so my prayer for you guys is this. God, please draw Dom and his family, Askew and his family to you. That's what our prayers always should be.
Part of me thinks, yeah, that sounds great. Yeah. You know, like, I'd be up for that.
Yeah, yeah.
But sign me up.
But it just, I just don't, like I say, when I look at you and that journey you've been on, and there's that moment where you go, this is it. This is like, I understand it all.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sort of like, yeah, sounds good. You know, but you were talking about it earlier. You know, if you tell me, should we go on holiday? I'm like, yeah, I booked it. You know, I get excited about things. Yeah. And
For me though, because people don't go believe in God and then they get on the deathbed and they're like, yeah, I believe God, I'm going to heaven. And I'm like, do you mean it? Are you just saying it? Now for me, like the way I am is like, if I say something, I mean it. Mm-hmm. Generally,
mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We all lie. We all have little white lies. So for me to say, yeah, I believe in God, and if I went to church tomorrow every day, in my heart though, I'm like, nah. Yeah. And this is the thing.
That's how I feel. It's so hard to describe, isn't it? That if you could.
If you're making a mockery, really. Yeah. You're making a mockery of people like yourself in the church. So if I went there and I'm like, yeah, yeah, God, I'm in here.
Because there must be a sliding scale of belief, isn't there? So there's like, I don't know if there's people more than you that believe it, you know.
Mm.
But you're like, let's say on a spectrum of 1 to 10, you are like, you're at the 10 end of like, I am like, banging there. No. And then there's like probably those, and then at 1... or 0, you've got me and Johnny who are like, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not sure.
I don't think we're at a 1, because some people some people in this scenario would argue to death and just shout you down.
It just doesn't exist. So yeah. Whether we are 3, 2?
Do you know what it is? Maybe we are a 1, and I know
everyone
what you're trying to say.
-3.
You're wondering, is there anyone who's a 12 out of 10? And I reckon someone else like Mike is a 10 out of 10, but it's the fanatical.
He's probably a 15. unless he's just saying it and he's like a 3, really.
Well, I was thinking about...
You're getting theological
double
now.
Bluffing. I was thinking more about America. And do you know how like some of them, they're like they're so Christian that they'll go... The ranty X, Y, and Z, and they'll go to people's funerals and basically...
Big banners, yeah.
Yeah. Now, they're probably 10 on the spectrum, same
Mike's
as Mike.
Got some of their banners in his car. Yeah.
Some of them are probably 10 out of 10 believing it, but it's to me, it's the attitude and that person's character. That's the difference.
There is a terrifying, probably the most terrifying verse in all of Scripture that says this. It's in Matthew, the book of Matthew, and it's chapter 7. And it goes like this. When we come to the judgment, so-called Christians will come up to God, or Jesus, the judge, and they'll say, Lord, Lord, we perform miracles and prophesied in your name. And Jesus says, depart from me, you who work iniquity, for I never knew you. And they will be cast into hell. So they are false believers.
I was going to say, explain that in layman terms, because some of that went...
Okay.
So basically they're saying, we have sort of acted on... We have done this, but false...
Yeah, absolutely. False, you've got it done. Yeah, they've gone, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I even acted like I did these miracles.
I did this. Exactly. But they didn't actually believe.
But the whole time they had no personal relationship with Christ. Yeah. And this is, again, this journey of conviction before conversion. A hallmark of a Christian is that they feel a conviction of their sin. And that is when you will know when God's drawing you to him, when you start feeling regret about life choices and you want to change and you come under the strong conviction of the Holy Spirit. So it's God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. He'll bring you under a strong conviction of your sin to the point where you want relief and Christ, you'll go to Christ, you'll go to the cross. And then you start this Christian walk. Now, we were talking about this earlier, Johnny saying about, was it you, saying about Christians just wanting to get into heaven?
Yeah.
Or, Yeah, I was saying about also
on the deathbed as well.
Yeah.
So it cannot work like that. It can in terms of somebody professing. So an example in the Bible is the thief on the cross. You've heard of the thief on the cross?
No.
All right, there's a story in the Bible where Jesus is on the cross and there's two other crosses next to him and there's two thieves that are basically sentenced to death. One of them doesn't care. He starts attacking Jesus and the other one comes under a sense of conviction. And he says to the other thief, "We deserve to be here for what we've done." That's him feeling conviction for where he is. And then he says to Jesus, "Remember me in paradise," because he believes who he is. And Jesus looks at him, and I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. Jesus looks at him and says, "With today, this day, you'll be with me in paradise." That is what we call a deathbed salvation, but that's only because he came under conviction. So if you're on your deathbed and you think you're going to get a free ride to heaven and say, "Lord Jesus, I believe in you. you're going to be shocked when you get there. It's this conviction. And I've just lost a friend, you know, an old friend. She was an old elderly lady and I shared the gospel with her so many times and I was there right until her death. And I mean death bed. She was dying. They'd stopped giving her the food because she couldn't swallow. And she's an elderly lady in her late 80s. And I remember sitting on the bedside and I was reading scripture to her. And before that, I read scripture to her and we talked about Jesus and all the rest of it. And I was saying to her, you know, repent, believe, you know, please, Lord, you know, and she didn't want it. She did not want it. She knew she was dying.
Repent though, like
saying sorry from all your sins and turning away from them
to God or to yourself.
God, to God, right. Yeah.
Because a lot of the stuff you talk about, again, for me is like I can relate to that. You know, like we talked about regret the other day, and like to reflect on, you know, my. Yes, choices and what I've done and like the way I've acted to people and like I do like regret. However, I'm like, well, that's a lesson learned. I'm not going to do that in the future. Now, I said to you one night, I think we might have been having a nice chamomile tea or something. Definitely not a gin and tonic. I said to you one night, I was like, "Listen, Mike," I was like, "Hey, I don't believe in God. However, I live my life like I believe in God."
Yeah, I remember that.
And I've been made this way. Mm. Now, I must say I'm the best person. You know, I'm like everyone else. However, like, I always try to be good to people, do the best for people, go out my way for other people. Love that in here, but like...
Yeah.
We have been brought up in a Christian country.
We have.
In all of our laws come from Christianity.
Yeah.
And the way I see it is, all right, I don't believe in God, but I act as if he is there.
Yeah.
Or I don't believe in a type of God. Mm-hmm. There might be one, but I act my life as if there is one.
Yeah.
So even though the way I think and feel, and again, if I say I believe in God, but I know I'm lying, I'm doing ill justice to not just myself, but to a religion. Mm. When I brown out, can I come upstairs with a big man? And you're like, no. Absolutely not.
The thing is, we're going to be okay if we die before Mike, because he'll be at our deathbed.
Yeah.
But if he dies before us, we're screwed.
Because what happens if I repented and went, God, but really I wasn't repenting to God. I'm repenting to myself because I'm not on the Richter scale of 10. And I don't truly know and I don't truly believe. Like, yeah, I'm a 4.7 out of 10. So like, let's say I'm on my deathbed and I want it when I want to believe it and I want it and I am repenting. I am like gutted for what I've done.
But
at bottoms, if I don't fully believe, I'm not on the 10.
No, mate. You don't have to. Guys, this whole 10 thing, this is...
I'm not sure if this is an intelligent conversation or not, but it's a way of explaining that there are some people that are one end of the spectrum and the other, but amongst there's different levels.
Guys, remember the thief on the cross? Was he a 10 hanging on that cross? No, he was a thief. I mean, not that we're a 10 anyway. anyway. And even if I am,
he was a two.
He was a two. This not. It's all down to God anyway, and his journey of bringing me on and all the rest of it to the point where I am. But he didn't. The thief on the cross didn't know theology. He didn't know doctrine. He'd not done a probably. Well, he'd not done a good thing in his life. He was a thief, and he was getting the death penalty. And he came under this sense, this conviction of sin. And he was in. He was. Christ said to him, "This day you'll be with me."
So there's still hope for me and you, Dom.
Oh, yeah. Boys, as long as there's breath in your lungs, there's hope.
Well, we've got you, mate. You're his right-hand man, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Put
yeah.
a good word in for me and Dom.
Do you know I am? No.
Listen, I've got two lads, right? Yeah.
Give him a little bit of a pass.
Do you know my mate Mike? No. He's lied to you all along. Yeah.
What is the chief end of men? And this is the answer. The chief end of men is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever.